Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to personally thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio broadcasts on MP3 files. You'll also find those TV programs that I just mentioned that you can look and download. And we have a host of and variety of other Bible material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting time for our regular services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you to come and study and worship God with us. We want nothing from you except to show you and help you understand your need for God in your life and a relationship with His Son. We are looking at an overview of the Bible, and we are hastening to the conclusion, and we are in the last book, probably the most controversial book of the entire Bible, and that is the book of Revelation. And last week, we finished looking at chapter number 6, looking at the question that is asked at the end of chapter number 6 and verse 17. It says, "For the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" And again, that's a question that we're going to give an answer to in chapter number 7. The question is, what happens to Christians during this terrible destruction that's revealed with the removal of the sixth seal? The destruction is coming on the ungodly and those who have punished God's children and put them to death, represented by the altar, the souls that were under the altars, the martyrs, and who is able to stand? The answer is, hold back judgment until the saints are sealed. You can see this similar language used in Ezekiel chapter 9. And this is in what we see, all suffering is not the judgment of God. Sometimes the innocent suffer along with the guilty. That's because it rains on the just and the unjust, Matthew chapter 5, 44 and 45. But they are not being punished with the guilty unless specifically noted in the revealed word. Because somebody suffered doesn't mean that they're being punished by God. Remember that Jesus' disciples, when they came upon a blind man that Jesus was going to heal, they asked him who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And he showed them that that had nothing to do with why he was born blind. That was just a circumstance. But punishment and suffering are not synonymous. It doesn't mean that a person is being punished when he's suffering. Nor does it mean that when a person is profiting and everything's going well and he's doing well, that he's righteous. Those two things do not go together. That's not the way that it works. And even the observation of life would teach us that that is true. Whereas the righteous are sealed against the judgment, except from a given judgment on the ungodly, they're not going to be judged like the ungodly because they're not guilty. They still do not find exemption from pain and death. We read this also in passages like Ezekiel 21, 3 and 4. Sometimes, even though the wicked are punished, sometimes the godly will die in the process. That's tragic, but it happens sometimes. The sealings of the saints will not guarantee physical preservation. That's not what this is about. But it will guarantee them a spiritual preservation. Because you see, brethren, that's what's more important. The most important thing is not what happens in their physical life, but what's going to happen to their soul, what's going to happen in eternity. And so their faithfulness, even if it means death, is going to reap a spiritual reward because it's going to be rewarded by God by giving them eternal rest. Now, beginning in chapter number 7, you have the four angels holding back the four winds. Four is a man's number, and it usually means in Jewish numerology, it means the world. Angels are standing and they're ready to act. They're at the corners, the north, the south, the east, and the west. The winds of the earth. These are also mentioned in books like Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 17. And we can read some of that and when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, when he was talking about, at the end of that sermon, about the winds beating and blowing upon houses in a symbolic way, the storms of life, and us being prepared in Matthew chapter 7. The judgment is natural of God, and we read that in verses like Psalms 104, verse 4. Here, the four horsemen are much representative of what we read in chapter number 6 as we went through those in the last week. So that no wind should blow, holding back judgment until the command of attack is given. There's going to be a punishment. There's going to be an attack on the ungodly, but it's not going to be until God determines that it's the right time. Again, we remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has a timetable and he's going to do things according to his own time. The sealed servants of God really represents the church militant on earth. Another angel is descending in verse 2, and it comes from the rising of the sun. And that would represent that God is light. Having the seal of God or the mark of God, as again we read, if you go back and see much similarity in Ezekiel chapter 9, it just shows that there's safety in time of trouble. Having the seal of a righteous God just gives us assurance and encouragement and confidence that things will be well. This is the instrument for sealing of God's slaves. And more than that, if it's any more than that, we have no indication of that by the text. They cry out with a loud voice to the four angels saying, "Do not harm, do not release the judgment until we have sealed the slaves of our God on their forehead." So judgment is being held back. It's being kept at bay until those who are citizens and those who are aligned with God, until they are sealed in some symbolic way, then the judgment will be poured out on the ungodly. Now, why seal them? Well, sealing protects against tampering. Also, sealing shows ownership. They belong to the Lord. Remember in 2 Timothy 2, verse 9, the Lord knows those who belong to him, and he knows how to lead them out of difficulty. And the sealing also shows a certificate of genuineness. It shows that they truly belong to God and they are part of his, and he recognizes them. And then in verse number 4, it says, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, and 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." Now again, there are many times that this number is going to come up in this text. And many people want to give this number as being those who are already in heaven, and that the number in heaven has already been secured, and that's why we're going to have a thousand reign on earth, because the heaven is already filled until the thousand year ends, and then there's going to be another type of reward. All that is fantasy and human theology. This 144,000 is a symbol, and it is not a literal number. 12 times organized religion. Now it raises it to a higher power in order to emphasize its inner quality. 12 equals 144 times. It means it's ultimate in its completeness. It means 1,000 times 10 times 10 times 10 equals 144,000. Which means all my saints under my care, and I do mean all. It doesn't mean just 144,000, it means all of them. Now, is it a literal number? No. From every tribe of the sons of Israel. If this is literal, then physical Jews, then why is Ephraim and also Dan omitted? If this is really the 12 tribes, and this is those who have already obtained heaven, and it's full, why is Ephraim and Dan omitted? And why is Judah placed first? Why is Judah placed first? Well, that would have to be because Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, God's people in the age of the context of Revelation. What these are talking about is talking about those who belong to God, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, we're called in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, a people for his own possession, Titus 2, 14 says, the offspring of Abraham, we read in Galatians 3:29, and those of the true circumcision spiritually in Philippians 3 and verse 3. 12,000 from 12 tribes, we read that in verses 5 through 8. 12 from the 12 tribes. They are on earth. They will be affected by the judgment of chapter 6. They are the church militant on earth, which is able to be sealed as an answer to the question, who is able to stand? Those who remain faithful, those who remain committed to Christ, those who remain committed to God and to the church that they belong to, they're going to be protected. They may lose their life. Many do. But they will save their soul because they were faithful to the Lord to the very end. And remember, this is the most important thing. The physical preservation is not what the writer of Revelations is most worried about. Physical persecution and even death is going to come upon the saints. But there is a higher purpose in their life. And their faithfulness to Christ, even in the face of this persecution, is going to reap eternal benefits. The church multitude coming out of tribulation is seen as the church triumphant in verses 9 through 17. After these things, concerning the sealed church and the church militant on the earth, behold, there is a great multitude coming out of every nation, coming out of the tribulation. What tribulation? The tribulation in Rome. Standing before the throne. They're standing before the Lamb. Clothed in white. That means robes of victory. Purity. They have fulfilled their mission. They have completed their task. They have been faithful and to God. The palm branches in their hands. Those are things that show victory. We read that in John chapter 12 in the New Testament. They cry out with a loud voice, not unlike the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Thanksgiving or Harvest connected with Israel's deliverance from Egypt and their dwelling in booths. Amen, song of agreement, voice of the angels and the elders and the four living creatures are in unison. The questions and answers have been given by one of the elders for John's benefit. The ones who came out is present tense, literally those who are coming out. And the Great Tribulation is not in the future, it is going on now. It is the persecution of Rome. Their hour of testing is going on now. It's not yet in the future. This is the same group as 144,000, but they're looking at it from a different direction. Sealed servants still on the earth, verses 2 through 8. Sealed servants have passed through death in verses 9 through 17. The name of God is written upon them, as it is on the 144,000. Those who overcome, that means those who remain faithful, those who are committed and steadfast. The ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, as we read in Revelation 1 and verse 5. And we can read that also in Isaiah 1 verse 18. The ones who serve Him because of the Lamb's blood, because they've been bought with the blood, they can serve Him. They remain faithful because they are owned by Him. They are before the throne, and the 144 are singing before the throne. Day and night in His temple, the entire building, the sanctuary which one serves as a priest. The ones who serve Him are and care for Him. Perfect protection. He shall spread His tabernacle over them. The practice during the Feast of Tabernacles was the provision of those in need and for the stranger. Perfect provision. Perfect leading. Perfect joy. All of it is coming together. Why? Because they have remained faithful. This is not a literal 144,000. This is not talking about future tribulation. It is what is happening now. They are being persecuted now. They are being put to death now. They are standing with God now. And God recognizes that. And He tells them that He's going to protect them and seal them. But they may lose their physical life, but their spiritual life is going to be secured. And they're going to be with God. And they're going to be with Him for eternity. And they're going to reap an eternal reward. But they must stay the course. They must remain faithful and committed to God, just as we must in order to receive the prize. That was what they needed to do. That's what we need to do. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week as we continue looking at the book of Revelation.